Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're looking at some showers starting to push into our viewing area. I'll show you when we'll see thunderstorms and how long they'll last.
A man is dead after being shot by a Person County deputy. What witnesses say happened prior to that shooting?
Also, scary moments in Johnson County as a school day began with a bus crash. What we know about the driver and the condition of the students on board.
Headed for an unsettled work week weather-wise, and WRAL LiveCam Network working hard all day long and looking at a lot of clouds out there. This is a live look at Goldsboro right now. A little bit of blue sky busting through there over our area. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when we'll have the best chance of severe storms.
We're looking at a pretty good chance for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're looking at some scattered thunderstorms this afternoon and already seeing a little bit of rain trying to move into Moore County here around Robbins. It's headed towards Carthage and Bass and eventually Southern Pines and Pinehurst. That's just the beginning of the rain that we'll end up seeing later on today. This is a look at Futurecast, and you can see some showers and thunderstorms that start to push in around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, almost a line right here. Likely to see some gusty winds with that between, say, 2 and 5 or 6 o'clock, that we might get a little bit of a break and some more rounds could pop up later on this evening. So some heavy rain with that, some blustery winds may not quite reach severe criteria today, but we do have a level one risk for severe storms for tomorrow. Damaging winds and heavy rain would be our biggest threat. And then on Wednesday, same story. We have that potential for damaging winds and heavy rain. And we have a potential chance for thunderstorms almost every day this week, all the way up until Friday. Once our cold front comes through at the end of the week, it'll feel much more comfortable. We'll take a closer look coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. We are following a developing story out of Person County right now. And as you see on this map, a man was shot and killed by a Person County deputy. And Eric Miller is live right there. We take you to Person County. Eric, what can you tell us about that?
Well, Jeff, we've gotten new information from the Person County Sheriff's Office here in just the last hour and a half. They say all of this played out in this very rural area outside of Rougemont, the intersection of Mount Harmony Church Road and Cousin Road right here. The Sheriff's Department says when they got the call, there was a vehicle down here in the ditch and a man walking along the road waving a gun at passing cars. You take a look at this video here, you can see some of what's left behind from this scene here last night. All of this playing out right around 6 o'clock yesterday evening. The Sheriff's Office says when deputies got out here to the scene, they found that man waving the gun. They ordered him to put that gun down. That man instead firing 2 shots at sheriff's deputies. The Sheriff's Office says that man then continued to walk towards those deputies, gun in hand, still refusing to respond to commands. That's when deputies fired those fatal shots. Now, we are still working to learn that man's name, working to learn what exactly led up to this incident here, but we do know that both the sheriff's deputy had a body cam on, and there was also a dash cam in that deputy's vehicle as well. The SBI, which is taking over this investigation, is going to be looking very closely at those videos as they work to learn what exactly happened here. Jeff?
It's a pretty wild scene there. Eric Miller, live in Person County. Thank you. Police in Zebulon, meantime, are looking for a person who shot someone while they were driving, causing them to crash. It happened within walking distance of Five County Stadium, where the Carolina Mudcats play. WRAL had crews on the scene, saw a sedan with broken glass and a smashed hood off to the side of the road there. Police say the driver was taken to the hospital. No word on that person's condition.
We have new information about the students on board a school bus that crashed this morning and the injuries some of them suffered. It happened on Stevens Chapel Road in Johnson County around 8:15. WRAL's Brett Neese is live there for us now with some new information. And Brett, some of the students have serious injuries.
They do, Renee. Just a terrifying start to the school day for these 22 students that were on board this school bus. Troopers say that it was traveling down Stevens Chapel Road, lost control, overcorrected, and that's when it hit that mailbox there. You can see it lying on its side. And then after hitting the mailbox, it hit this tree. A lot of damage to the tree, and you can see the skid marks there along the road. That's when the bus went back across the road and finally came to a stop. I want to show you some of this video to show you the damage to the bus itself. Take a look at this as it was being towed away from the scene. Officials tell us that the 22 students were on this bus when this happened. Two of them have broken femurs. Six others also have injuries. The remaining students were taken to Princeton Elementary. Those eight that were injured were taken to the hospital. Troopers tell us that the driver of this school bus, Karen Halver, was not paying attention to the road when she went off the road and overcorrected. She's now facing charges. A man who lives by says this is not the first time a vehicle has overcorrected and crashed on this stretch of road.
In the 10 years we've lived here, that's the third crash we've had from an overcorrection. Two vehicles rolled over in a neighbor's front yard across the street on the same day. Typically, an awful lot of people coming away too fast through here.
It is a 45-mile-an-hour speed zone here on this road. Halver facing a left-of-center violation. Renee, the ages of those kids that were on board ranged from 5 to 11.
What a scary ordeal for those kids. Brett Neese, live in Johnston County. Also in Johnston County, a Smithfield man accused of causing a school bus crash on Friday that injured several students is due in court today. Trevor Grice faces felony hit and run and other charges after authorities say he hit that bus with his car. Ring camera video shows the moment the bus was hit, pushed off to the side, and ended up in someone's front yard. 13 children were on board. 8 had to be taken to the hospital. Troopers say Grice was driving with a revoked license at the time.
Right now, family and friends are saying a final goodbye to one of the officers killed during the shooting in Charlotte last week. WRL's Noah Klein is here with how those who knew him best are remembering Deputy Thomas Weeks. Noah.
Jeff, we have heard a lot about Deputy U.S. Marshal Thomas Weeks, known by those who knew him best as Tommy. A memorial service honoring his life and sacrifice started this morning at about 10:30. It continues at this hour. This is a live look inside. We just heard from his wife, Kelly, who spoke about who he was as a husband. She said he always wanted to hold her hand. Weeks is survived by his wife and 4 children. He was with the U.S. Marshals Service for 13 years, also worked 8 years for Customs and Border Protection. I want to play you now part of his wife's eulogy, speaking about Tommy as just a great father.
He was a loving father, to not only to his kids, but also his stepchildren. He enjoyed everything from watching Patrick when he was performing, to his nightly goodnight hugs and I love you to Abby. He would make Dunkin' Donuts runs for Mackenzie even after mom said no. And he took Brady to D.C. to see his first Capitals game.
U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland also spoke at this service, reflecting on what he's learned about Tommy from his colleagues. Garland said after he spoke with Weeks' wife on the phone last week, she asked what he needed from her to support the Marshal Service during this time. Last Wednesday, a processional carried Weeks' body from the medical examiner's office to that funeral home in Mooresville. We have information on the other 3 officers killed that day and who they were. You can find that over on WRL.com.
So sad we're talking about this just a week since it happened. Noah Klein, thanks for that update. North Carolina Division of Adult Correction is also paying tribute to 2 of the officers killed in the line of duty in Charlotte. Officer Sam Peloche and Alden Elliott served with that agency. A memorial wreath is now displayed outside the Special Operations and Intelligence Unit on Yonkers Road in Raleigh. Representatives from the North Carolina State Highway Patrol and Raleigh Police Department joined for this solemn occasion.
Former President Donald Trump could face jail time the next time he violates the gag order in his hush money trial in New York. The judge fined Trump another $1,000 for making remarks about the jury. This is the 10th time Trump has ignored the gag order. The judge says since the fine does not prevent him from violating the order, maybe jail time will.
Long lines, frustrating wait times, and delayed deliveries. Those are all problems customers are complaining about at the Holly Springs Post Office. Today, town leaders are addressing those concerns. They met today to discuss expanding the post office. It was built in 1991 when the town had about 900 residents. The population has grown to 50,000 now, but there's been no change to the post office facilities. One business owner says delays at the post office create a backlog for customer payments.
We get a lot of checks from customers and payments, and you know, sometimes we're expecting them, and they show up 2 or 3 days after we expect them to be there.
Congressman Wiley Nichols sent a letter to the USPS postmaster calling for changes to the facility. The mayor says they're hoping to build a new office or remodel the current building.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Raleigh Fire Department confirmed a 2-inch gas leak. It happened on Pikes Peak Drive in Raleigh. We have video from the WREL breaking news tracker of when this happened. The Raleigh hazmat team was on scene. They were able to clamp the gas leak. We heard that they actually just cleared the scene. They were assessing whether evacuations would be necessary, but that was not necessary, and it is all clear for now.
Next at noon, a terrifying situation at a Philadelphia church Sunday. Why a 26-year-old man said he wanted to shoot the pastor, and what happened when he tried.
Also, the Texas flooding disaster has now claimed the life of a 4-year-old. How hundreds of people had to be rescued from homes and cars.
Well, it's just a little more than a month out from the U.S. Open at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club at 12:30. We take you there for a live report on what's happening today.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
It's happening right now in the WREL Life Center. Columbia University has announced they are canceling their university-wide graduation ceremony that was supposed to happen on May 15th after weeks of pro-Palestinian protests on campus. They made that decision today. They say they'll replace it with a smaller-scale school-based celebration. The school said security concerns were the main reason behind their decision. This all comes as hundreds of UNC faculty and staff are calling for student protesters to be allowed back in school after facing suspension after last week's police action toward pro-Palestinian protesters on campus. The faculty members plan to deliver a letter to them later this afternoon in the Peace and Justice Plaza.
Michelle, thanks. What was supposed to be a day of celebration turned tragic at Ohio State University. Someone died during the graduation ceremony yesterday. A spokesperson for the university said the person fell from the stands and died. This happened just 30 minutes after the ceremony began. The commencement continued uninterrupted, and students leaving the ceremony walked past the investigation as they were leaving.
A man who attempted to shoot a pastor in Philadelphia says he did it because the spirits in his head told him to. This all happened as the church service was being live streamed. Video shows the 26-year-old walking into the church shortly after 1 p.m. Sunday. Now watch as he walks toward the front of the church during the sermon and points a gun at the pastor. The gun failed to fire, giving the pastor time to duck for cover, and that's when another man jumped into the scene there and tackled that would-be shooter.
All I could see was somebody walked up on the pulpit, and after they got up on the pulpit, they raised the gun up. Once they raised the gun up, I jumped up, you know what I mean, from behind, got him from behind, struggled him down to the ground.
A cameraman wrestled the gun away from that man, and while the pastor and others held him down until police arrived, everyone was grateful for the outcome and say they forgive him.
The body of a 4-year-old boy was recovered near Fort Worth after historic flooding over the weekend in Texas. Search and rescue teams are patrolling streets and neighborhoods for people stuck in the water. This past weekend, at least 200 people were rescued from homes and vehicles. Nicole Valdez takes a look at the damage.
After days of torrential rain, Texas finally getting a chance to dry out Monday. But parts of the state are still dealing with high floodwaters, forcing continued road and school closures. The National Weather Service says some communities northeast of Houston got nearly 2 feet of rain over the past week. Entire neighborhoods have been submerged underwater, leaving residents facing a long cleanup.
You could see it's just mud and soot, so this will all have to be power washed out.
In Harris County, where Houston's located, local officials urging those in heavily flooded areas to avoid returning home until conditions improve, warning the murky waters could be dangerous.
A couple yesterday tried to go see their homes despite our warnings, and at one point the gentleman had to really hold on to his partner because she was being pulled away by the current.
Since last week, storms have forced hundreds of rescues in the Lone Star State. These conditions turning deadly west of Dallas in Johnson County, where officials say a 4-year-old boy died after being swept away. So many across the state now trying to make sense of the loss of life and property.
It's very disheartening. Very disheartening just to watch people lose everything time and time again.
Members of the North Carolina Emergency Management Swift Water Rescue Team are headed to Texas. Southeast Texas seeing devastating flooding intensified by another round of storms. Texas game wardens have joined emergency services in rescue efforts. At least 224 people have been saved from flooding. A 5-year-old boy has died after the car he and two adults were in got stuck in rising water. The man and woman were both rescued.
Canes dropped game one of their series in New York Sunday against the Rangers, but Canes fans, you know, Canes Nation is still cheering them on from back here at home, decked out in Canes gear at Teats in Glenwood South. Despite the disappointing loss, fans still know there's a lot of time to get back in this series. Could be a 7-game series, you know, that's why they play. Canes will host games 3 and 4 at PNC Arena Thursday and Saturday. It'd be nice to get one on the road, tie it up. Season is over. Meantime, for the defending Stanley Cup champions, Vegas Golden Knights lost last night in Game 7 of their series with the Dallas Stars 2-1. So the Stars now move on to play the Colorado Avalanche in the next round. You got to tie this up on the road at New York to come back one apiece, and then you have home ice advantage.
Yeah, and we know how electric the atmosphere is when you play in PNC Arena. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WREO Severe Weather Center. The atmosphere outside going to get electric later on.
It is. We have a chance for thunderstorms later this afternoon, as well as tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and possibly even Friday before a cold front sweeps this pattern out of here. We do have a few isolated showers down here moving into our southwest counties, Moore County in particular. You can see here heading over toward Carthage. It's just north of Southern Pines. It's very light and patchy right now, but as we continue to see this next wave rolling through and add a little daytime heating to that, we'll likely have a better chance for some scattered storms later on this afternoon and evening. Tomorrow, it's a level one risk for severe storms, damaging winds, heavy rain, maybe even some hail possible. And same thing on Wednesday. That covers almost the entire state on Wednesday. There's a good chance, again, on Thursday. Thursday may even bring us the best chance all week of seeing any severe storms. Let's talk a little bit more about today. We're going to see that line of thunderstorms starting to develop and pushing into our area. Again, we may see some heavy rain, some strong, gusty, blustery winds right through the evening commute. So it may be very messy mid to late afternoon for us. There's 9 o'clock and some more waves may roll through closer to midnight. And then we'll calm things down overnight. And first thing tomorrow morning, there could be a few isolated showers you can see there at noon. This version of Futurecast isn't too excited about those afternoon and evening thunderstorms, but some of the other models certainly showing a good potential for that. So a chance of showers and thunderstorms all the way through Friday. And again, some of those may be strong to severe. Here's a look at Southern Pines. Again, up to the north, we're dealing with just a little bit of light, patchy rain. We'll start to see more of that rain pushing in across our viewing area as we get through the next 2 hours. 76 is our current temperature. We have a southwest wind at 9 miles per hour. We'll likely climb on up into the mid 80s. And then temperatures will probably hold steady or start to fall once the rain starts to roll through. 84 in Raleigh, 83 Durham, 88 in Fayetteville. Our monkey meter is going to be something that is new for us this week. We've had, you know, some monkey meter kind of creeping up a little bit last week, but this is likely to be the highest so far. Some of our highest dew points that we've seen so far this spring, that's 71. We haven't made it into the 70s just yet. And that's going to make it feel very warm. We'll see a high of 90 Wednesday. And then upper 80s on Thursday. So that heat index is going to be pushing the upper 90s Wednesday and Thursday. And yes, it's going to be very, very early for that for sure. 87 on Tuesday, again, 90 Wednesday, 88 on Thursday. Not looking at records, but when we add all of that moisture into the atmosphere, it's going to feel very sticky for us. On Friday, we're going to see a front moving through behind it. We're much cooler, a high of 78, looking at mid 70s on Saturday and Sunday. We do have a small chance of a thunderstorm on Sunday, but our humidity will be gone. Temperatures will be close to normal. And again, maybe just a small chance for a storm for mothers.
Elizabeth, thanks. The man accused of crashing into a school bus on Friday and leaving the scene appears in court today. Coming up at 4, we'll have the latest from inside the courtroom about last week's crash that left 8 students injured.
Then two mental health facilities that serve our children with a history of issues. Tonight at 6, WRL investigates concerns about care and what state inspectors found. If you shop at Sam's Club, you're familiar with that bottleneck at the exits as customers wait for an associate to check their purchases. Well, the change the company is putting in place to eliminate a bit of that frustration.
Plus, most Americans spend at least 40 hours a week at work. Why psychologists say prioritizing your mental health on the job could improve productivity. This Mother's Day, you can treat mom to a bouquet of fortune cookies. And retailers are getting aggressive with price cuts to pull in shoppers. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
More retailers are slashing prices as consumers continue to cut back on spending. Stores are dropping prices on everything from clothes to home goods and arts and crafts kits. IKEA slashed prices on hundreds of products recently. An 18-piece dinnerware set went from $49.99 down to $29.99. The European retailer also dropped prices on other furniture like bookcases and bed frames. Retail analysts say lately even high-income shoppers have been scaling back purchases, and that's presenting stores with even more challenges. It was a disappointing debut for The Fall Guy at the box office. The feature with Ryan Gosling took in about 28.5 million in ticket sales. That was good enough for the number one spot over the weekend, but it was at the low end of forecasts for the movie. Analysts say the box office continues to be uneven as moviegoers still aren't going to theaters the way they did before the pandemic. Second place this weekend went to Challengers, and the re-release of Star Wars: The Phantom Menace was third. Wait, this Mother's Day, you can treat mom to a bouquet of fortune cookies. P.F. Chang's is selling the fortune cookie flower bouquet for a limited time. The messages are a mix of heartfelt and comedic. One says, "Don't tell Dad, but you're my favorite." The cookies come in a mix of colors and are wrapped like a traditional bouquet of flowers. The bouquet features a dozen cookies and is selling for $39.99 at pfcfortunes.com. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
The Biden administration is encouraging you to buy an electric vehicle by offering new tax credits. The Treasury Department announced new credits and EV battery rules to allow for automakers to comply on source minerals. The credits range from $3,750 to $7,500. Used EVs and hybrids can also qualify for credits.
YouTube is testing out AI to help you skip to the good part. Some YouTube premium subscribers can now jump to the most watched part of a video, but only in the YouTube app. They can now double tap the right side of the screen, which normally skips ahead 10 seconds, and then tap a jump ahead button that appears. YouTube premium costs $14 a month. Sam's Club says AI will now handle exit checks in all stores by the end of the year. It'll be used to verify receipts for people who are waiting to leave the store. Sam's Club says this technology is already in use at about 20% of its stores now.
Panic in Rafah as hundreds of thousands of displaced Palestinian residents race to safety. The rush to evacuate the city comes as Israel vows intense action in the near future. The warning from the U.S. and world aid agencies.
And here are winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Civilians in Rafah are desperately seeking shelter or a way out after a warning from the Israeli military. An intense ground assault is expected soon in the southern Gaza city, where more than 1.4 million people are sheltering. NBC's Raf Sanchez reports from Tel Aviv.
Early this morning, the Israeli military began dropping leaflets over an area of eastern Rafah with a stark warning. Get out. We are about to attack this area. This appears to be the first stages of Israel's long-threatened ground offensive against the city of Rafah, where more than a million Palestinian civilians are sheltering. The IDF says the area where it is currently ordering evacuations has about 100,000 Palestinian civilians in it, so it's not the entire city. But these people are being told to flee north and west to a so-called humanitarian zone along the Mediterranean coast. Now, at this point, Israeli forces have not actually entered Gaza and begun heading towards Rafah, but the U.S., the U.N., humanitarian groups have consistently said to Israel that a large-scale ground attack on the city of Rafah would be a disaster, not just in terms of the loss of innocent life, but also the disruption to the flow of humanitarian aid coming into Gaza. Now, this evacuation order comes at a critical moment in these ceasefire talks. CIA Director Bill Burns here in Israel today after crisscrossing the Middle East over the last few days, trying to keep these talks on track. There did appear to be progress last week, but the two sides now deadlocked on a familiar issue, whether this deal is for a temporary ceasefire, which Israel wants, or whether this is a deal to end the war altogether, which is what Hamas wants. And trying to bridge the gap between those two positions is the key task for the CIA director and for other mediators right now. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Tel Aviv.
Voters will decide the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor next week. That's when Jim O'Neill and Hal Weatherman face each other in a primary runoff. The winner will face Democrat Rachel Hunt in November. O'Neill is Forsyth County District Attorney. Weatherman was chief of staff for former Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. The Lieutenant Governor's seat is open to newcomers because incumbent Mark Robinson is running for governor. O'Neill and Weatherman have different ideas for how they want to lead the office. So for a look at their records and their priorities, you can check out our in-depth article at the NC Capital section of WRL.com. A panel is hearing arguments today at the Winston-Salem Federal Courthouse on the North Carolina voter ID law. Its opponents say the law discriminates against Black and Latino voters. Meanwhile, the defendants are rejecting those discrimination claims. They say the goal is to crack down on voter fraud.
The state has audited election results for years and looked into allegations of fraud and has found every year that there is very little fraud and very few allegations of fraud.
The case has the potential to block the state's voter ID requirement before the November election, although an appeal is likely. The trial is expected to take 10 days.
Tonight, we will learn who is Wake County Public Schools Teacher of the Year. The school system will honor each school's Teacher of the Year and four first-year Teachers of the Year. Tonight's banquet gets started at 6:30 with the big announcement at 8:30 at the Raleigh Convention Center. We'll be sure to let you know the winner during tonight's late newscast. This week, your input is wanted in the search for a new Durham Public School superintendent. There will be three meetings for the community to discuss what they want in a superintendent. The first is tonight at the former Northern High School on Tom Wilkinson Road. You can also attend a meeting tomorrow at Hillside High or Wednesday at the Southern School of Energy and Sustainability. All of the meetings begin at 6 p.m.
And right now, it's time to give you a sneak peek. Right now, this is the back of the grandstand facing the 18th green at Pinehurst Resort's number 2 course. Just a little over a month, the 2024 U.S. Men's Open Championship will be played there. And you see all the carts lined up? There's some activity there because today is media day as well. And we take you there, Chris Lee, WRL Sports Team, live on site right there. Chris, what's happening today?
Jeff, I'm a little bit excited, of course, because in 39 days, the U.S. Open will be played here at Pinehurst, number 2. And what makes this one even more special is that this will be the first time that the U.S. Open has been played at a USGA anchor site. Of course, last year, the USGA put their headquarters and to make sure to have a physical commitment towards the Sand Hills community and this community of Pinehurst. Now, this year's U.S. Open will be special in other ways. There have been some alterations to the course, plus Tiger Woods will be playing here with a special exemption, making this year's tournament a once-in-a-lifetime experience that you just cannot miss.
Pinehurst before, as soon as you walk in, you'll understand why it's an anchor site. And if you have, I don't have to answer the question. This is the home of American golf, and with 10 courses all around here, a village that lives, breathes, and eats the game. And when you walk in here, you just slide into golf history.
And Jeff, there's going to be so much to do down here in 39 days when people come here for the U.S. Open. Of course, they're building all of the grandstands and all of the great things here that will be on the golf course. But also, the World Golf Hall of Fame is now here in Pinehurst. So you can come here and visit that. There's so many other things and memorabilia and things that you can use to go down memory lane to see everything. Plus, it'll be the 25th anniversary of Payne Stewart winning and the shot that he hit right there on 18 as he won there over Phil Mickelson. So we'll have a great time here in about a month and 10 days. Excited for this as the U.S. Open is nearing.
Oh, certainly. Those grandstands are immense. The Hall of Fame will be a fun visit for a lot of folks coming through there. Chris Lee, live down at Pinehurst. Thanks so much.
Experts say there's an easy way to improve your quality of life, both at work and in day-to-day life. The trick? prioritizing your mental health. How researchers say bosses can play a big role in helping employees' mental well-being.
Plus, sometimes parents love some help and guidance on parenting. Still to come, how the Wake County Public Library is giving you free access to the pros on topics like kids' health, safety, and well-being. You can download the WRL News app and keep up with breaking news, weather alerts, and stories that matter to you wherever you are from your favorite device.
Happening right now in the WREL Life Center, Hormel Foods is recalling two different types of Planters nuts for potential listeria contamination. This is what we're talking about, the 4-ounce bag of the honey roasted peanuts and then the 8-ounce container of the deluxe mixed nuts. They were shipped to public supermarket warehouses in several states, including North Carolina. No reports of any illnesses yet, but the products are being recalled out of an abundance of caution. These honey roasted have a best by use date of April 11th, 2025. The Planters salted mixed nuts have a date of April 5th, 2026. If you have either of these, either throw them out or return them to the store where you bought them.
Today is Melanoma Monday. Melanoma is considered the deadliest of all skin cancers. But a new FDA-approved immunotherapy could help extend lives for some. Oncologists say the single dose of immunotherapy is currently approved for those with advanced stage 4 melanoma who have not had success with other treatments. The process works by surgically removing a piece of the patient's tumor and then identifying specific cancer-fighting immune cells from it. From there, the cells are multiplied and reinfused through an IV. By doing this, the patient's own immune cells can go on to identify and fight the cancer. Immunotherapy-based treatments are a very effective way to fight melanoma.
No matter what you do for work or how good you are at your job, it is normal, experts say, for everyone to get overwhelmed from time to time. With May ushering in Mental Health Awareness Month, psychologists say prioritizing your well-being at your workplace could improve your quality of life in and out of the office. Clemson University psychology professor Thomas Britt says managers can take active roles in helping their employees develop strategies to handle work stress.
Can teach individuals and employees to try to take more control over their environment where they're able to. You can help them see the meaning in what they're doing, and you can train them to get experience handling multiple tasks at once.
And Britt thinks companies that help their workers feel seen and heard can positively influence workplace mental health, and this can help businesses as well in the long run.
Additional ways employers can improve mental health in the workplace include encouraging open communication where employees feel comfortable discussing their concerns, raise awareness through workshops and other training, manage workloads and expectations, offer mental health days, and encourage regular breaks and physical health.
Sports can be a great way for kids to stay active, but safety is a major concern for parents and caregivers. After the break, we'll talk with a Wake County employee about a new program that helps you parent with the pros.
And we're finally getting a look at the design of the 2024 Olympic cauldron. Find out when the Olympic flame is expected to make it to Paris.
Summer's right around the corner. That means lots of free time for the kiddos and Wake County Public Libraries, Wake Med Health and Hospitals. They're all partnering on a new program. This goal is to provide parents and caregivers ideas to keep children safe and healthy and happy. And joining us to talk about this three-part virtual series, Deputy Library Director, Wake County Public Libraries, Ann Burlingame Diab. And thank you so much, Ann, for joining us. This is a great new event, right? It kicks off Thursday. How did the idea come up? Tell us about it.
So this is a component of a partnership that we have with Wake Med. And our challenge really is what we're trying to do is work together to serve our shared community. And instead of working in silos, work together. And so when Wake Med came to us because they were interested in improving the experience of a child that's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So that was our part. And their part was we needed expert help on for parents on issues that were coming up in our conversations with our customers.
Yeah, just what you're hearing. You're listening to them and hearing it. So parents and caregivers, it's a virtual series here. What can they expect to learn out of this?
Well, the first one we're going to do, and that's on Thursday, is going to talk about teen mental health. And that is such a big issue in the country right now. So we have a master's in social work coming to talk to our parents about, you know, just signs to look for, just how you can deal with children suffering from depression, suffering from anxiety.
Well, that's been top of mind for 2-3 years now, certainly. So a vital one, that's this Thursday.
Yes.
Next month, you address outdoor safety. We'll be right in the middle of summer. Yes. Everybody be going.
Well, and you know, the summer is fun, but you also have your kids biking, swimming, hiking. And so we are working with the emergency medical director from Wake Med Children's, and she's going to come and talk about just how to, you know, keep your kids safe, how to manage the sunburn, so she'll be doing our second one.
All those things involved camp and things like that.
Yeah.
So then you wrap up the series, three parts. Third part is in July, and how to keep your teen safe playing sports as we look towards the school year.
Right. You know, sports really become a big part of children's lives in middle school and in high school. And there are things parents just need to know about keeping your child safe, and whether they're playing football or soccer or even cheerleading. There are things that, you know, we'll be able to talk, that our speaker from Wake Orthopedic will be able to talk to parents about, to keep your child safe and to know about.
All right. Brand new, great event. The events are free. Okay. But registration is required. You want people to sign up for it?
We would love it if you would sign up. Yes.
Where do they do that? Do they have information?
If you just go to wake.gov and look at Explore Your Library, you will see a whole tile about this program, Parenting with the Pros, and you can sign up right there.
All right. I know. I try to parent like a pro. Doesn't work out.
But we all do.
We all can try, right? Anne Burlingame Diab, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to be a great series. Looking forward to it. Renee.
And as parents with kids still at home, we just try to do the best job we can, right? And if there's helpful research and advice from the pros that we can access, all the better. So just a great series.
I need to show up for that for sure.
All right, now to the pro on the rain and the weather that we're going to see this afternoon.
Looking at some scattered cells starting to pop up. Earlier when we were talking, it was just down here in DeMora County. Now we're just beginning to see a little bit of activity popping up north of the I-85 corridor, a little bit of that around Durham. So we'll continue to see that as we get through the afternoon and evening. We take a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar zooming in here on the southern part of the viewing area. Just a little bit of light patchy rain there. Nothing much yet, but we have plenty more ahead. We take a look at Goldsboro. You can see a little bit of blue trying to peek through. The more sunshine we see, the more likely it is that we'll end up with more thunderstorms. Apex still pretty cloudy, Chapel Hill as well, and so is Fayetteville. The more sunshine we see, the more unstable the air mass will end up being, and the better chance we'll see some rain. We take a look at Futurecast as we roll it on through this afternoon. It's showing, you know, just a peak of sunshine, but as we get into 1 or 2 o'clock, a few isolated showers, and then a line of rain that develops and pushes on in right around the time of the evening commute. That's likely to last through dinner time, and another wave may come through during the evening and overnight as well. Tuesday, looks like the same story. We'll end up with the potential for some scattered thunderstorms as we get through the day through Tuesday into the afternoon and evening with that potential for some scattered storms. And we'll add Wednesday, Thursday, and possibly Friday to that as well. We do have that level one risk for severe storms for tomorrow, damaging winds, heavy rain, possibly some hail with that on Tuesday and again on Wednesday. Thursday might end up being the greatest risk for severe storms. We're watching a developing front. This is just going to be a few waves coming through today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, but the front itself comes through Thursday, and that may bring us the most energy and the best chance for seeing any severe storms for this week. How much rainfall total? It should be fairly significant. We will likely end up with at least an inch or more. You can see some pockets there where it's an inch and a half to 2 inches, maybe even up to 3 inches. I mean, we're talking about today, tomorrow, all the way through Friday in terms of the timeline on that. An early look at Mother's Day. Once that front comes through Thursday into Friday, it is going to deliver some cooler, drier air. And we get into this time of year, and sometimes that is hard to see. I mean, we hardly ever see that in June, July, or August. So we'll enjoy that beautiful weekend on tap, some comfortable temperatures for Mother's Day in the 70s. And then into the following week, we continue to have the potential for below normal temperatures. Our normal temperatures are in the upper 70s. So if we're below normal, that should keep us solidly in the 70s. We also have the potential for above normal precipitation. We could still use some rain. Hopefully we'll catch up a good bit this week with all these chances today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It'll be nice to have a little break with some sunshine and lower humidity and cool temperatures for the weekend. Get just a small chance of some showers and storms for Mother's Day.
Elizabeth, thank you. More than 250,000 people took part in the world's largest charity run over the weekend. How organizers were able to make this happen around the world. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
UNC faculty and staff say they will deliver a letter to the university's administration today in support of student protesters who have been rallying in support of Palestine on campus. A release says more than 550 faculty across the university have signed a letter demanding the school administration provide amnesty for students who have been arrested or suspended. This comes after last week's police action toward Palestinian protesters on campus. 13 students were detained.
A man is dead after he was shot by a Person County deputy yesterday. The sheriff's office says a man carrying a gun was walking along Mount Harmony Church Road yesterday. When deputies made contact with him, they say he fired two rounds. One deputy shot the suspect, who died. The State Bureau of Investigation is now handling the case, as is standard with shootings involving law enforcement officers.
Eight students were injured in a school bus crash this morning in Johnston County. Two of them had broken legs. It happened on Stevens Chapel Road around 8:30 a.m. 22 kids were on the bus in total. Troopers say the bus driver veered off the road on a curve, overcorrected, and lost control of the bus, hitting a mailbox and a tree. The driver is Karen Halver. She was charged. Runners from around the world united under one organization for charity. More than 250,000 people took part in the Wings for Life World Run on Sunday. The motto of the event is Running for Those Who Can't. The run featured 345 starting points worldwide. The organization calls it the largest running event in the world. Runners averaged about 7.1 miles. More than $8.7 million was raised for this event.
We're finally getting a look at the design of the 2024 Olympics cauldron that will be lit for the first time on Wednesday. The man behind the vision also designed the Paris 2024 Games torch. He says the two items share inspiration and common signatures: the purity of the form, the relief of water, and the same hue. The cauldron will be lit at the celebration site of each stopover city by the last bearer of the flame.
Our pets of the day come to us from Love Mutt's Rescue. Six puppies playing in a lake. That's what they love doing. They're all happy, cuddly, and playful. These darlings have Labrador Retriever bodies and paws like their mother. So here's the rundown. Archer's a perfect gentleman, polite and calm. Astro and Amelia, very playful. Ace is fluffy with a curly tail. Ashley is the smallest, quite sassy. Anastasia is the sweetheart. If you're interested in one, some, or all of them, apply at lovemuttsrescue.org.
How to choose? That is the question. The Hurricanes are gearing up for game two against the Rangers in New York. WRS Casey Hintz brings us the takeaways from today's practice at 4.
It would have been a big deal to steal one on the road, as I said, up in Madison Square Garden, bring it back all tied up.
Yeah, tied up, Canes.
NBC News Daily is up next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We hope you have a great Monday.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.